Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Friday, June 3rd, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Imran, the number one game journalist, Khan.
I noticed that was my title was not in there when I came into the doc. So I
apologize.
I helped out and I added that for you.
I appreciate it because, of course, you know, I would have called you the Don because I know you in my heart as the Don. But you are right that you deserve the respect of being called the number one game journalist because you did strip that title away from both Andy Cortez and one Jeffy Grub in the ring.
And you also threw me off because, you know, shout out to Mike Clancy, Kind of Funny best friend who like made the tots thing for us yesterday. Also at the same time sent me the Don logo for Games Daily. And Blessing, it was going to be the perfect thing where he introduced him as Imran the Don Khan and I was going to pop up the image at the same time. But then you did something else.
You ruined it.
Take it back.
Garrett, you teased that you had a thing and part of me was like, oh, I really hope it's not the Don. Like, I was like, the one thing I hope it's not is the Don. And I should have asked you.
Redo
but I
it.
Just had trust in the
Redo
process.
Redo it. Reintroduce it.
Joining me is Imran, the Don Khan.
Yeah.
Imran.
Hell yeah.
It's been so long. How you been?
I've been good. This is the, as pointed out to me on Twitter yesterday, the 100th KFGD I've hosted.
Really?
Yes.
Holy cow. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Congratulations. So,
we got a lot to celebrate today, Blessing.
This is going to be a fantastic episode because we got a lot to celebrate. We also have a lot to talk about because since my last time hosting KFGD with you, we did something that we've been teasing for a long time. We went to Sonic Drive-Thru.
We did. That literally the beginning of the pandemic is when we started talking about that. It was like you, me, and Kevin be like, I could go for some Sonic.
Yeah. Like Sonic was a recurring bit. And I forget what started it. I think just randomly somebody brought up like tater tots or something. And then we're like, oh yeah, man, Sonic Drive-In is the place. And it just kept coming up over and over again. But we finally got to go. I've been to Sonic a lot over the years, but I haven't been since I lived in Illinois, which is like 7 or so years. I believe it was your first time at Sonic. What is the Imran Khan review?
The food was shockingly cheap. I put all the food for all four of us, because it was you, me, my partner Rebecca, and Michael Hyam, on my card, and it was still like $50, I think, for like four meals, which was ridiculous, which is not a thing in the Bay Area that you see ever. It was, okay. The food was good. It was clearly like candy in food form.
Yes.
It was like, here's a pickle sandwich, just like everything is fucking cold, but whatever, it tastes fine. And here's like a giant hot dog. We don't give a shit. Just eat this.
It's like, yeah, all right, it's very much like anything you get there that is savory is like over salty. And then anything you get there that is sweet is like overly sweet, overly like tangy. Like it's almost as if they're just handing you syrup in a cup, which
and
I appreciate.
The guy at the drive-thru was clearly just like done with our shit. Because we were like, hold on. We got one more order. He's like, fine. Like it just gave him more stuff.
Honestly, I keep thinking about it because it's not like we were crazy with our order. Like all we did was give an order for four people. And like by the time we got to the second person in the car, he was fucking done. He was like,
yes.
All right, you guys done yet? Like it's like, wait a second. Like we got a car full of four people. Like I'm sure you get families of five coming through here. Don't act like this is an insane thing.
Yeah. And it's like it's kind of on Sonic because like the actual thing where you drive into the booth or whatever and like press the button didn't work. And they didn't tell us it didn't work for like 2 minutes. So, like, we had to actually go through the drive-thru, and they'd, like, meet us there. That's not our fault. That's totally on them.
Yes. And I do want to grant grace, right? Because, like, being a fast food worker is not easy, right? Like, I used to work at Pizza Hut, and that shit sucked, and it was a lot of work, and it stressed me the fuck out. And the vibes I got is that somebody didn't come in that day. Like, they were missing another worker. They were missing somebody because there was just a lot happening in terms of, like, us going into the thing, pressing the button, nothing happening for minutes, and then them being like, oh, yeah, it's drive-thru only, and then us going through this long-ass drive-thru. Like, they're obviously being, like, worked that day. And
in their head, they were probably thinking to themselves, like, I'm not even supposed to be here today kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. but it was, I still had a great time, right?
Yeah, like,
it was great. Sonic food, which is exactly what it is, which for me is amazing.
Chili dog?
It's not the only Sonic that's not working well today.
Ha! Imran, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me before we get there, because, yeah, no, we're going to get there. But before we even get there, Imran, like, for people, I mean, everybody here should know you. What is the latest Imran update for the people?
I was here, I think it's been over a year now where I've been at Fanbyte. Actually, hey, everybody, kind of funny fans, viewers, whatever, I have a request of you. Everyone has shitty bosses, so do we. No, not shitty. We have bosses. We have corporate bosses that are, like, looking at Elden Ring numbers and being like, why aren't those the numbers every month? And it's because we don't have a new Elden Ring every month. But we have to hit numbers real hard this month. So what I'm asking of Kind of Funny is, do me a favor. Just go to fanbyte.com, FANBYTE.com, and, like, you don't got to read anything. You just click around. I don't.
Just hang out a little bit.
I'll never know if you read anything. Hang out on the website
kind
for
of
a
funny,
bit.
Best friends out there who are going to come in and, you know, go through the Fanbyte website and get them just awesome numbers. I need you to go to this Morbius Makes It Morbin Time in theaters again this weekend. Click on this so Imran's corporate leaders can be like, ah, Morbin Time.
Those are
the things that bring traffic into this website.
We need more Morbius content.
Yeah, we need more Morbius content. Get all of us the Morbius content you can give us, and then that soon will be the only stuff that you see on fanbyte.com.
Yeah, if you don't want to go, like, to the main site, there's also oshit.help, which is our guides. So, like, that just goes straight to guides.
There's also awesome. The Final Fantasy 14 site, which I forget what it's called, but that is Michael Hyams.
Link Shell, yeah.
That's Michael Hyams' project right there. So go over and support my roommate. That way he can get more raises, and that money funnels back to me somehow. But enough about that. Imran Khan, I feel like this is a very me and you episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily, so I can't wait to talk about all of the things that are in here, like a recap of yesterday's State of Play, terrifying new Sonic footage, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kind of Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, our Kind of Funny Reacts to yesterday's State of Play is up right now on the YouTube channel, along with a full-on episode of PS I Love You XOXO, breaking down each and every announcement for you, featuring Greg, Janet, Andy, Tim, and myself. That is up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. And I'll go ahead and say it. Not only was yesterday one of the best State of Plays ever, it was also one of the best episodes of PS I Love You XOXO ever. It was one of the ones where we thought the episode was going to be, what, maybe 40 minutes, 50 minutes long? It's just a post-show to the State of Play. Turns out, when the State of Play doesn't leave room for just random shoo-in games and it's all fucking bangers in that thing, we have conversations about it all, and we have a long-ass episode for you. It's like an hour and 40 minutes long, I think. And so go check that out. It is a really great episode of PS I Love You XOXO. But remember, we're only at the very beginning of Summer Games Fest season. Summer Games Fest Live, Xbox Game Showcase, and more are happening in the coming weeks. Make sure to check into twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames because we'll be reacting to it all live along with you. And of course, if you're more of a YouTube person, that stuff will be uploaded to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames as well. And then a new episode of Jurassic Park In Review is up. And if you want classic unhinged Greg Miller, you should definitely watch our review of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom on youtube.com/kindoffunny or on podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire and Fargo Brady. Today we're brought to you by Chime and Credit Karma, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
Pickers! Dozen.
But of course, story number one is like 15 stories in one, because it is our state of play recap for you. I'm going to do a quick recap pulled from the PlayStation blog, of course. Check out yesterday's or this morning, no, yesterday's episode of PSLV XOXO for the full in-depth breakdown of it. Thankfully, we have Imran Khan here who will provide for us a new voice regarding the state of play. And then also additional details, right? Like as these things happen, we get really interesting bits of info that come out after the state of play. So we'll be talking about some of that stuff as well. But the state of play went like this. Again, this is yesterday. We got Resident Evil 4. That is coming to PS5 next year. We got a cinematic new trailer with a glimpse of gameplay and story details. We got Street Fighter 6. That was fully revealed. We got first new details on new fighters coming to its roster. The Drive System, World Tour, and more. Final Fantasy 16 got a trailer. It launches in summer 2023. Resident Evil Village is in development for PlayStation VR 2. Horizon Call of the Mountain for PSVR 2 got a new gameplay trailer. The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners Chapter 2 Retribution was announced, and it is in full development. That is coming 2022 for PSVR 1, and then 2023 for PSVR 2, which is interesting. No Man's Sky is coming to PSVR 2, which is also interesting. Stray launches July 19th and is coming to PS Plus Extra. Marvel Spider-Man series is coming to PC this fall. Marvel Spider-Man Remastered will launch on PC on August 12th, 2022, while Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales will launch on PC in fall 2022. Rollerdrome by Ollie Ollie World's creator was announced and looks really cool. The Callisto Protocol got a full gameplay debut. The game comes out around the world on PS5 and PS4 on December 2nd, 2022. Season, A Letter to the Future, got a new trailer. That is coming to PS5 and PS4 in fall 2022. And then Tunic is coming to PlayStation September 27th. And then Eternites got a trailer. It is Persona-inspired and looks really cool and is coming early next year. Imran, the Don Khan, I gotta assume you watched the state of play. What are your thoughts?
So first of all, I wish I was wearing a collar so I could pop it, because I was right about Resident Evil 4. Like, oh, yeah. If you remember earlier this year, I wrote a Resident Evil 4 details of the unannounced game. And one, obviously, that's the worst kept secret in the world is coming. But the stuff I said was about how it is a creepier game. They're moving a lot of it to Nightfall. They're kind of like putting more emphasis on the side characters, too, of like Ashley and Lewis and Ada, and integrating that into the main game. So that trailer bore most of what I set out. I'm confident in the rest, so it's going to bear it out as we go further. That looks really fucking good. Holy shit. I can't wait to play a remake of one of the best games of all time.
What do you expect out of it for a remake? I think we've had this conversation before in the past on KFGD, talking about how Resident Evil 4 obviously way more modern than Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3, right? It was a PS2 game, was the first Resident Evil to introduce that behind the shoulder look, which was, I think, revolutionary for a lot of third-person action games. For Resident Evil 4 coming out as a quote-unquote remake, even though they're not using remake in the title, and I don't even know if they're using remake in the write-ups, but you look at it and it's like, all right, this is a remake. For you, what do you want out of it?
The bit I know is that they, since that game is so freely available on everything, you could, if you wanted to, log into a modern system and play Resident Evil 4 right now. They have basically carte blanche to just do whatever they want with the reimagining. That they're going like, hey, we can stick a little bit close to what we, you know, the spirit of Resident Evil 4 is, but why don't we make a game that like really fits with our vision of that, of the Resident Evil series, which is what they're doing. They are making Resident Evil 4 in the lens of Resident Evil 2. I want that game to be what they think it should be. I completely agree with the fact that there's Resident Evil 4 was a corny action game that had like a real B-movie feel. That game isn't going anywhere. That game still exists. It's in HD. Fans have remade textures for it that are actually really good for a PC version. Like, I would want them to make this game the creepy horror game that they think it should be. And I think like they're rolling in some of the stuff from like the beta version of Resident Evil 4 as well. So I want to see what that is. I want to see like what is the horror game that was always just like bubbling under the surface of Resident Evil 4.
Interesting. Do you want it to connect to Resident Evil Village or Resident Evil 7 in any way?
I don't think it needs to. I think probably what they'll do is the end of Resident Evil 3 Remake had a scene of like Jill saying, yeah, I'm going to go do some stuff. I imagine this one is going to have a very similar scene of like, rather than ending with Ashley propositioning Leon in a really weird way, they end it with like, here's what Leon is going on to go do next, and maybe set it up for, at this point, I'm relatively sure they're probably going to remake 5 and 6 eventually. So maybe set it up to maybe do those a bit better.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this being a reimagining of sorts, because yeah, I think doing the one for one, hey, let's HD remaster this thing and make it do that, almost the Blue Point thing where let's take all the textures and replace them and make it look really pretty. I think that's the thing you could do, and I think that's the thing that would be accepted by many and would be like the bare minimum of, oh hell yeah, like Resident Evil 4 is back and it looks better than ever. I do like the idea of them going back and going, let's reinterpret this and figure out how to take something old and make it new again, in the way that for Final Fantasy VII Remake, they did that same thing, where that game is not that game is not the same game as the original Final Fantasy VII that came out. But also, I think for many people, that works because it breathes new life, it makes it exciting. And then for like a very big handful of people are like, oh, I don't know about these new changes. And I think both sides are very fair. Yeah. But for Resident Evil 4, I could see more of the argument for, no, let's reimagine this, because people do have Resident Evil 4 sitting right there if they really want to go back to it.
Yeah, and like, I honestly, you can still play that version. It's still really good. I played it on Switch like a year ago, and it was still like just as good as it's always been. I do have one thing that I just remembered. It was not a thing I reported before, so I guess it's exclusive to today's KFGD. And it's not like I didn't have enough confirmation on it. I just didn't. It didn't seem relevant to the story at the time. This game was at one point cross-gen. It is no longer cross-gen, seemingly, but I want to say about a year or two ago, maybe about a year and a half ago, it was still intended to come out PS5, PS4, Xbox One, Series X. I guess, like, from everything I was hearing is they want this game to be a huge graphical showcase, so they probably had to cut loose those old systems.
Interesting. Do you think part of that might be the fact that you can get Resident Evil 4 on PS4 native, which I know you can still download that game on PS5, but there's not a PS5 version necessarily. Do you think that's part of it?
Maybe that might be part of the reasoning. Like, it's not going to, I don't think they think it's going to do enough. And also, I think, was Village cross-gen? Do you remember?
I want to say yes. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Yeah, I don't remember if it was, but I don't know, like, what data they got from that maybe informed the decision.
Yeah, okay. You were saying yes, it was.
So maybe, like, it just didn't do as well. Like, Miles Morales is an example of a game that did much better on PS5 than PS4. So maybe, like, that's the same with Village as well.
Yeah. What's your take on Street Fighter 6? I think for me, that was one of the ones that got me the most excited out of the state of play. And that's one that I wasn't necessarily expecting for me to get the most excited because I love fighting games. I've always had I've had a weird past with Street Fighter. I've just sucked at Street Fighter. And I've been one to gravitate more toward the 3D fighting games like Tekken and Soul Calibur and stuff. And like lately, King of Fighters, Guilty Gear Strive, Dragon Ball FighterZ have been really doing it for me. And I think have been setting me up for maybe getting into Street Fighter with this next iteration. And everything I've seen from the trailer has me excited, along with the stuff they've talked about, right? The World Tour mode, which seems like it is going to be a full-fledged. Here's a single-player adventure that you can run around, get into combat with. They've shown off some of the online stuff, like an online hub, in the way that a lot more fighting games have been doing, where you are walking around a physical space and challenging people, which for me has the positives and negatives, but I think for Street Fighter, it could be really interesting if they do it in a really fun way, along with some of the systems they've talked about reworking, like the gauge stuff and more. Like, Street Fighter 6, what's your reaction to it?
So first of all, I saw Jeff Grubb in the chat. So let me quickly dust off my shoulders. So Jeff Grubb has something to eat tonight.
Got him.
Second, got him. I think Street Fighter 6 looks really, really good. Like, I think it looks a little bit slower than 5, which is fine because 5 got a little too fast, honestly. 5 got a little too hectic. And I think they realize that. Ryoza Tsujimoto, the grandson of the founder of Capcom, is in charge of the fighting game division now. He's taken over for Ono. I think that guy knows what he's doing. He knows how to make a good game. And I think he knows to actually listen to the audience, especially because, like, he's been running Monster Hunter since the series' inception. And he's just been like, we just need to make good games and eventually they'll hit. And, like, they make small tunes and eventually, you know, they become massive worldwide successes. I'm hoping that's what's going on with Street Fighter here. I don't know, Pleasing, if you saw the leaked pictures of the rest of the cast.
I saw that floating around, and I was debating on whether or not I wanted to read it or not. Because, like, it seems like maybe the entire roster is leaked.
Like the entire roster, yes. I don't want to say the names in case anyone just, like, doesn't want to know. But, like, all those designs look really good. Like, Street Fighter V's redesigns, very hit or miss. Most of them I didn't, like, jive with. All of these, I think, are great redesigns. I think that thing that was way too fast to be fake. Like, there was no way they got that Chun-Li design drawn in, like, within an hour of that reveal. So, if that's real, and I have to assume it is, like, I'm actually really excited for this game because the roster looks great. and like the gameplay looks great. They showed like a little bit of a single player mode that looks like you're going through the city from Final Fight, with the name escapes me, but like the Mad Gear city. They showed like a bunch of the Mad Gear gang seemingly as bosses. Like, that stuff looks really cool. I'm excited for it. It looks a damn well sight better than Street Fighter V story mode did.
Yeah, that's the thing is, there's so much in this trailer that makes it feel like something that is a next step. It feels like a new iteration in the franchise in ways that seem very fascinating, very fun. You know, talking about the single player stuff, I'm on the PlayStation blog right now, and there's a whole write-up talking about the new stuff that they want to talk about for Street Fighter VI. And one of the things they talk about is the new world to step into, where they write, let's talk briefly about the two of the new and foundational modes you also saw in the latest trailer, World Tour and Battle Hub. World Tour is a single player immersive story mode that pushes the boundaries of what a fighting game is and allows you to leave your own legacy within Street Fighter VI with your own player avatar. And while Battle Hub, briefly shown at the end of the trailer, seems like just a venue for online matches, it'll also bring new and unique forms of engagement and communication. Both these modes will require a deeper dive in the future, and we can't wait to discuss them more in detail. But just from like watching the video of them walking around in the city, right? Like, there's one shot that I really love of the avatar character doing a Shoryuken to like a trash can and it breaking, and I'm like, dude, that seems really fun, right? Like, give me a world to walk around in and fuck around with, in the way that, you know, other fighting games have provided really cool single player content recently in the past, right? Like, especially looking at NetherRealm with their story mode, but then also like, you know, Injustice and Mortal Kombat with those. Tekken has their own ways of doing single player, which I think can oftentimes be hit or miss, but at the very least, whenever a new Tekken comes out, I'm excited to check out the new single player stuff, because there's at least something tangible to attach yourself to there, right? Like, a carrot on the stick to keep you coming back, and then also sometimes it's really cool. Like, I really liked some of the story stuff they did in Tekken 7 with Akuma and Heihachi in there.
Yeah, one of the things they did mention in that blog post was there's a new control method, full optional control method, that I think a lot of people will hate just because like they're traditionalist, but that is, it's basically Smash Brothers. It's, you have a special move button and you have a direction, and that'll create a special move. And like, I think some people are going to be very mad about that, but I think that's what you need to do at this point. If you want this game to be a major mainstream success, you got to have that simplified control scheme. And this is not the first time fighting games have done it. This is not the first time Capcom has done it. But I do think this is them seeing Smash Brothers Ultimate has sold 25 million copies and going, okay, yeah, we need to do something. We can't just have another like 3 million copy fighting game. We need to really go for it.
Yeah, like we need to open ourselves up to a new fan base. I think that's probably one of the things that they might have struggled with Street Fighter V. I don't recall that many new people entering in with Street Fighter V. It seemed like that was the Street Fighter fan base moving on to the next iteration. And even with that, I think you see some disappointment because there is a lack of innovation and new stuff in there. One of the things that I appreciated from the write-up as well is where they talk about adding in a real-time commentary feature. The write-up reads like this. We're happy to announce a new feature that'll add all the hype of a competitive match without actually being in one. Enter the real-time commentary feature. We're working with well-known fighting game community commentators and other recognizable faces to incorporate their voices directly into the game. Enter a match, and as the fight goes on, their voices will narrate what is happening on screen, just like a real tournament. In addition to the added excitement, this feature will also provide easy-to-understand explanations about gameplay. This will help anyone new to Street Fighter it'll help anyone new to Street Fighter have a better grasp of mechanics to use for future battles. The real-time commentary feature will also support subtitles in 13 languages for accessibility. The first legendary commentators to join this feature are Vicious and Aru. We'll announce the rest of the lineup in the future. And stuff like that is stuff where I'm like, yes. Like, this is the stuff I want to see. Like, give me new ways to one, interact with the game, but then also get stuff out of the game. Like, real-time commentary for me is a thing that I'm excited. I'm sure we'll have some hiccups at the beginning of it because this seems like something that's brand new. But if they hit it, I think it's going to be exciting for so many players, like wanting to elevate that hype that they have in that fighting game experience.
Have you all contacted Capcom yet? They've been like, yeah, what about a Blessing Greg Miller commentary?
Oh, could you imagine? Just people that have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, no, I think that would be the selling point is Greg just being like, I don't know, he kicked him low. Whatever, he's kicking him high now.
Well, I also need Nick in that commentary as well, because that would be hilarious.
It'd be me explaining like, oh no, Greg, that is a quarter circle forward. Greg, it's a quarter. You don't know what a quarter circle is. It's down just forward, Greg.
Everyone just being confused about what charge moves are. Like, yeah, I think it would be great. I think it would work out really well.
Imran, what was your take on Final Fantasy 16?
So I thought that trailer was very cool. It did not strike me as Final Fantasy. I thought like, okay, this is a single player action game, which is fine. Like, that's not necessarily what I'm here for, but maybe that's just me being like an old dude who like is kind of hypocritical because I fucking love F7 Remake. But they did also release the names of the people who are working on it. And I think what is very, among other things, there's a, I gotta look up this name, Ryoto Suzuki, who used to work at Capcom and was like, he did Dragon's Dogma. He worked on games like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and stuff like that. He is the battle system designer for this game, which means like, oh, this actually is a Devil May Cry with like fantasy dressing. But more importantly, most of the people who work on this game have not been working on a lot of Final Fantasy. And I think that's extremely important at this point in that series lifetime or lifespan to get people who are not just Nomura and Nojima and Toriyama and all them over and over again. Because it's not that they make bad games necessarily. They sometimes do, but like it's that this is going to be a fresh Final Fantasy take. This is going to be a game that has the title, but is going to look, feel, and hopefully play differently than the series has before. And I think that this series is like groaning for some kind of reinvention. Like they recently announced FF15 sold 10 million copies. That's a lot. That's good. That is up there with like Final Fantasy. With remakes, it gets remakes and releases, it gets confusing, but it's up there with like Final Fantasy VII and stuff. But in a vacuum, like that's not that much, or not in a vacuum, it's not that much. It's less than, let's say, Ring Fit Adventure, it's less than Luigi's Mansion 3. Like, it's not that, it's less than Ghost of Tsushima. Like, these are all more successful games than what should be the patriarch of JRPGs. So I think them going, we're just gonna get fresh blood in here, we're gonna try something different, let's hope it works out, I'm really into. And I'm really into the fact that, like, it seems like all these classic Final Fantasy summons are just characters in the game. They, like, have human forms. I'm curious, narratively, where that goes and what they do with it.
I think that's the thing that allows them to do it, right? Is the fact that you look at this and you're like, wow, this looks so different from a lot of Final Fantasy in the past. But because they're carrying forward so many narrative elements, especially with the big summons, and that seeming to be, like, the focal point of what this game is going to be, I think that... Right, that alone carries so much of the soul of Final Fantasy that lets them experiment and go crazy with gameplay and all those things. Like, when Tim was the one that tweeted out yesterday talking about how, yeah, Ryota Suzuki, who helped do Devil May Cry 5 and Marvel vs. Capcom 2, is working on the this game as the combat director. And that alone has me so excited because Devil May Cry 5 in the last, what, I forget when that game came out, but I'll say in the last 5 years has some of the best combat out of any game that I've played in the last 5 years. And like,
yeah.
That is such a, I think, one, you're putting your game in such good hands, having him be the combat director. But then also, for how many Final Fantasy games there have been, I think them shaking things up and trying to find ways to separate Final Fantasy 16 from the other ones, I think is so smart. Because you eventually, someday, one day, hopefully, Final Fantasy Remake Part 2 gets announced and comes out. And that is going to be people's link to something that they feel more familiar with. You know, you've had Final Fantasy Origin Stranger of Paradise just come out. And that is a spinoff. That is something different. But that is also something that carries forward a lot of Final Fantasy DNA as well. Along with that, you have so many of the pixel remasters and like remasters in general and stuff that's been spruced up and coming forward. And like there's in the NVIDIA League, I think they talked about either Final Fantasy 8 or 9 Remake. I forget which one. But there is so much Final Fantasy content that is going to be the stuff that is going to speak to traditional Final Fantasy fans that, yeah, moving forward, like for whatever the next big iteration is, you got to find ways to make it different. You got to find ways to reinvent because there are already so many temples that you can go to as a Final Fantasy fan. I didn't even mention Final Fantasy 14 as well, which is another thing that a lot of Final Fantasy fans have available to them as well. Like,
yeah.
There's so much to go to.
Speaking of which, like, so RPGsite.net, Alex Donaldson wrote a really good piece, like, where he, like, laid out what all the developers that he listed for FF16 so far and what they've done before. And it's, like, a very exciting thing because, like I mentioned, it's a lot of new blood, but also it's people who worked on, like, The Last Remnant, which is a criminally underrated PS3 360 RPG. People who wrote for Heavensward and other, like, really well-loved Final Fantasy 14 expansions and, like, things like that make me very excited. Like, I think the scenario writer for the game, like, the first thing they did was on Final Fantasy Tactics. Like, this is, it's going to be, I think, a very interesting game, if only because the pedigree seems so hungry for something new and different. Yeah, I'm,
and it looks really good. Like yeah. the health bars looking like fighting game health bars. The like bigger than life battles. The amount that they're leaning into the cinematic portion of it, I'm super into. And just visually, just looks so different from a lot of Final Fantasy stuff that we've gotten in the past. And it has me, as somebody who is newer to being like really into certain games in the franchise, has me super excited. Right? Yeah. I'm somebody who, you know, I fucking loved Final Fantasy VII Remake. I really enjoyed my time with Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin. And I've been somebody who's been wanting to get more and more into Final Fantasy stuff as stuff goes. Final Fantasy 16 has me all the way sold. Like, I can't wait for this to come out in summer 2023. I was going to say summer 16. That's a different thing. That was 6 years ago. That was a Drake song also. Imran, before we get to a couple of questions about this, I want to know, how do you feel about the state of play as a whole? And is there anything else you want to touch on specifically from here?
I think it was probably the best state of play they've ever done. Mm-hmm. That bar is so low, it's in the ground, but it's still like on its own, a very good state of play. They clearly learned what they need to show here, and they can't just like keep whiffing on it. I think it would have been better if they had to first party games, but that wasn't on the cards to begin with, so I'm not like disappointed. I'm just saying, you know, if they showed Ragnarok, it would have like really elevated it. In terms of things I want to touch on real quickly, I think the fact that the Spider-Man games are coming to PC, usually when Sony does that, that means the sequel's right around the corner. So they've already announced Spider-Man 2. I would not be shocked to see it next year. Yeah. They said 2023 originally, right?
Yeah, the original trailer did say 2023.
Yeah, so
hopefully it doesn't buckle.
Yeah, that to me makes it sound like they're confident in that. So hopefully. Our Roller Dome looks fucking cool. I thought it was cool when I saw it, and I realized it was cool when I realized that all the Ollie creators were behind it. Like, Tony Hawk with shooting sounds like a good thing. Callisto Protocol coming out a month before Dead Space is very funny.
It's going to be very interesting.
Yes, those are two games.
Those are going to get a lot of comparisons.
Yes, very simple, obviously, because Schofield was the one who made Dead Space. Like, this is ex-visceral people, so that makes total sense. Beyond that, that was, like, the main things I want to touch on is, like, everything I think was pretty good in that show. The only thing I maybe just didn't care about were, like, the VR things, but I'm sure they're good and just not my thing.
Like, for me, as somebody who cares about VR, like, that stuff spoke to me as well. And I was surprised, because usually VR can be very hit or miss, especially after being on this side of VR's rollout, right? Like, I feel like I've experienced everything I've needed to experience in VR. Like, at the time, going through playing Astro, playing Blood and Truth, playing Trover, playing Tetris Effect, playing, like, all the on-rail stuff, right? Like, in the moment, it was very exciting, felt very new, but also, now that I'm past it, I'm like, is there a VR experience that can speak to me in that same way again? And honestly, these trailers have me in, you know, like I never got to try out No Man's Sky VR on original PSVR. And this seems like a good excuse to get in there. But also Horizon Call of the Mountain, I think looks really good, looks really fun. I forget the other, the Resident Evil stuff. I'm super sold in as well. Like, I do want to try out Resident Evil Village and 4 in VR.
It's so funny when they like started the Village VR trailer. The very first scene, because they knew, was you looking up at Lydia Dimitrescu. They knew exactly what they were doing.
It was a joke I made yesterday where I was like, dude, Michael Haim is gonna like knock on my door for something and then open my door and just see me in VR just looking straight up. And be like, yo, you good? I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. Just leave. I'm looking at a tree. Don't worry about it.
So I have a VR story. My roommate once borrowed my ex-roommate borrowed my Oculus headset. And she was using it for like Google Earth or something. And I walked into the living room, and by coincidence, she just happened to look my direction. And is the creepy, I can't explain how creepy that is for that to happen. Like, to just walk into a room and someone with a helmet on just looks directly at you.
God, I can't wait for VR 2, but I also don't know if we're going to get it soon. Like, right now, I'm starting to lean more toward 2023 as we get closer and closer, but I'm really hoping that we get it this fall because I want to get my hands on it.
The fact that Saints Row is launching on regular PSVR this year and VR 2 next year makes me think that, it's a 2023 thing.
Oh, Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, yes. Saints and Sinners, that's what I was looking for.
I got really excited. I was like, wait, Saints Row is coming to VR? I didn't hear about this. And Ron, I want to bring in a couple of questions about this because, of course, people are anxious to talk about the state of play. I want to start with the other Sean who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, morning, kind of funny. So, phew. Spring 2023 is a buffet. We had a feeling this would be the case with all the delays, but my God. Final Fantasy 16, Starfield, Zelda, Resident Evil 4, to say the least. Do we think all of these games will hit at that time, or will things shift again? If only for some breathing room. I'm stoked, but also nervous for my time and money. No doubt some games will get lost in the shuffle. How are you lot planning on taking on next year's seemingly intense review season?
So I imagine anything that has a date right now probably going to stick to that date, especially games that have their or companies that have their financial year ending at the end of March, because pushing a game that is taking pre-orders past the financial year incurs you a loss. So they're going to want to delay that at all costs. By and large, like Starfield, FF16, and Zelda all just say like 2023, and we're assuming around spring. Or some say spring 2023 directly. So they're not giving a date. That could be April, May, whatever. That gives us like a decent window. And if things get delayed, it's not the end of the world. But in terms of how we're going to handle it, that meme of the guy shrugging and going, guess I'll just die? Like, that's it.
I'm not as scared right now, being like a half a year out from 2023 as I was like when we were in November last year, and we were like, oh, there are so many games in February. Like, we're still like a little bit ways out. There are still so many games that are just like, we don't really know, right? Like, Final Fantasy 16 is just summer 2023. Like, will it actually hit that? But will it also like be spread out enough that it's like doesn't really matter, right? Zelda, we still have no idea about, right? We just know it's next year, stuff like that. So I'm personally like not as worried, at least right now, as I was when we were going into February.
Yeah,
I'm very much in a wait and see place, especially because spring is such a wide window. And even spring for some developers means July for some reason, right? Like, there's so many games, and I don't want to call people out, but I'm going to call some people out, right? Like, Neon White was supposed to come out December, and then they're like, oh, we're going to be early 2022. Guess what? That game still isn't out. Like, there's so many games that are going to say spring that are easily going to fall into the summer, and that's just going to happen. And that also sounded like a really good rap bar, right? Like, spring and fall into the summer, that's fire. But also, like, that stuff is going to happen, and I think it's going to be natural, right? Like, I think the ones that I worry about a little bit are Zelda and Starfield. Zelda specifically, because Zelda's been pushed so much, and I'll think that they might want to get it out as soon as possible. But if spring is really populated and it doesn't make sense, I could see Nintendo going, ah, fuck it, let's just do summer.
No, right? Like, even Starfield. They don't care about other releases. They'll buckle. Like, if they think the game's ready and they want it out, like, they're going to put it out like,
right, yeah, as soon as I think possible. For Zelda, it's going to be like, one, ready, and two, where in the financial year does it make the most sense for them to release it? And like, they had a lot of success with March. They can end their financial year. I think if it's ready by March, it'll come out in March. Mm-hmm. But if it's not, then I could easily see like some.
I'm also rocking with the theory of like, there's always a Nintendo hardware revision thing that happens.
It's not happening. Stop it.
And if there is a Nintendo hardware revision that happens, let's say fall 2023, I bet money Zelda gets delayed to come out with that hardware iteration.
Did you see that Digital Foundry discussion they were having about the latest Zelda footage?
Yes.
So Digital Foundry, if you do not know, they know their hardware shit. They know their tech. They are usually right. They were like one of the few outlets that were saying, no, there's not going to be a new Switch this year. And that was last year, because they didn't see any like real like insinuation of it from the game's development. They looked at the new Zelda footage and were like, this is doing stuff very subtly that the Switch can't do. So yes. I'm like, it could be that Zelda Breath of the Wild 2 was just doing some real cool shit with the Switch hardware. Or it could be that they're right and there's something around the corner that Nintendo's very subtly, like, not, maybe they don't even realize they're hinting at it.
Yeah, I mean, timeline-wise, it would make sense, you know, by around that time. If you look at the cadence of the way Nintendo releases new hardware stuff, right, like, around that time makes a lot of sense for a new Nintendo thing to come out. And I'm not saying it's a Switch Pro, right? It could just be another like lower end Switch thing. Like, I have no idea what it could be, but I think something is going to come out around that time. And if that something is a slightly more powerful Switch handheld, why not just hold Zelda for it? So Zelda could be the seller.
Yeah.
Or you launch the next Mario thing that we've been waiting for.
They released the new 3DS with Majora's Mask, if I recall correctly.
Yep. They released the Switch with Breath of the Wild.
So. Yeah.
You know, you never know. I do want to bring in another question from Jake's Bakes Cakes, who writes in and says, does the much better than usual state of play lower or raise your expectations for Summer Game Fest, both in terms of third party and potential PlayStation reveals? As I type this out, Greg asked it on PS Love You, but I want to hear Imran's opinion. Thanks for all you do, and happy to hear Imran back in my ears.
So, kind of no, because a lot of what I was excited for were things that were announced yesterday. I knew Resident Evil 4 was coming. I assumed we were going to get details on Street Fighter 6. I guess the main thing Capcom could show me now is like a new Dragon's Dogma, and I'd be on board. But for the most part, I think like Nintendo's show will probably get my, what if they have a show, will probably get me excited. I don't know what Microsoft can show me at this point that would get me very into like what they've got going, but like that's not really their business model right now. It's not like, you know, create AAA tent poles. But I'm excited for whatever new they have to show me. Honestly, I'm still kind of recovering from Elden Ring. Like, after finishing Elden Ring, I've still been in this like kind of malaise of like, I don't know what's next. I don't know what I'm gonna play, whatever. But if they showed me something that got me as excited as I was about any of the games I've played so far this year, then I'd say it's a good Summer Game Fest.
Yeah, it's been such a fascinating summer showcase season this time around, because you have so many publishers not announcing things going on. Like, we've heard nothing about a Nintendo Direct, and I think at this point you just got to assume that it's not happening anytime super soon. Ubisoft the other day put out a statement saying that they're not, or didn't put out a statement, but they told, I believe they, I forget exactly how it happened, but somebody at Ubisoft was like, no, we're not doing one in
yeah,
June.
They told Steven Totello that he was, we're not doing it. Yeah,
like they're not doing one in June. Like, it seems like it is going to be Xbox. Xbox Keighley's thing, and then maybe like another thing here and there, like Devolver, and this is a new story, but Devolver Digital is doing their thing as well. And so like, you have less happening, but I do think that I get more excited for Keighley's thing, because last year Keighley had a pretty banger showcase, right? Like, it is, especially having Death Stranding Director's Cut and then also ending it with Elden Ring gameplay with a release date there. That was huge, and I think for Keighley, that's a big get in terms of signaling to other big publishers that, hey, you can come here for your announcements. Like, we have a big audience, right? Like, we've been trusted by like some of the biggest games of the year. Elden Ring, the feature game of the year, was at our showcase, right? Like, I think that gives Jeff Keighley a lot of juice, and I wouldn't be surprised this time around seeing even more bangers at his Summer Games Fest kickoff thing. And with that, right, like, I don't think you're gonna get a PlayStation showcase again. You're not gonna get a Ubisoft thing. How many of these things show up at Keighley's thing? Ubisoft, I think, is way less likely, because you don't really see their logo in Summer Games Fest things. But I think a God of War Ragnarok or a Last of Us remake type thing could show up at a Summer Games Fest to get us all hype, right? Like, I think there's plenty of third-party stuff, EA stuff maybe, that could show up at a Summer Games Fest and get us all hype. Like, that is now, I think, the central place for shit to show up. That isn't Xbox.
Yeah. We'll see. I think there will be a Nintendo Direct, because, like, when Sword and Shield was coming out, they did the thing of separating out the trailer 2 weeks before, so it wasn't part of the Direct itself. Considering they did that also with Violet and Scarlet, like, I suspect probably we'll have one. We'll see. Like, they have no titles detailed past summer.
I also think it's, just for the state of play context, I think it's interesting here, this is something I noticed, that they actually labeled on the state of play itself Summer Game Fest, instead of just having a tweet about it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that really adds anything to speculation and stuff like that, but I thought it was like very interesting, because that didn't seem like something that PlayStation in the past at least like would have done. So I wonder
like,
what's
nobody was doing that in the past. I think that's the thing that signals that, yo, Jeff Keighley is getting the juice, is that nobody was really doing that before. That was my biggest complaint about Summer Games Fest, is that it very much felt like Jeff was just riding the wave. Anytime a new showcase is happening, Jeff would be the one to quote tweet it and go hashtag Summer Game Fest. I don't think people were really owning it, and PlayStation owning it is huge, right? That gives Jeff, again, so much juice, and gives, I think, some credence to, we might see some PlayStation shit at Summer Games Fest live.
Yeah. Last year, both E3 and Summer Games Fest claimed the Xbox show. Like, they both tweeted, this is our show.
Yep. We'll see. Before we get to our next news story, I want to let people out there know about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. I love MeUndies from head to toe, all over my body. If you don't believe me, of course, right now, I'm wearing the MeUndies shirt. You can tell by the little tag going on right there, right? I got the MeUndies lounge shorts going on. Of course, I got the undies. And then, boom, MeUndies socks, baby. That's how we do out here at Kinda Funny. I love being soft head to toe in the micromodal fabric. You already know all about that. But if you don't, let's face it, summer's sweaty, but your butt doesn't have to be. With MeUndies light and breathable micromodal fabric, you can stay comfy and cool all summer long. They have super fun seasonal prints and tons of styles to choose from. But if you just like classic black, that's totally cool too. They got a bunch of just bold colors for you to go for. They have super fun seasonal prints, tons of styles, and sizes extra small to 4XL. So you can bring the beach to your butt without ever leaving your living room. MeUndies has a great offer for all of you first-time purchasers. You can get 15% off if you sign up for their free to join membership. You can apply that 15% off to their already discounted membership prices. To get 15% off your first order and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Tell them Tim Getty sent you. Shout out to Chime for sponsoring this episode. No one likes waiting on a paycheck, especially when you've got bills due. Good thing there's Chime. Now you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early without direct deposit. That's up to 2 more days to save, pay bills, and generally just feel good about your money situation. But Chime is about more than just getting paid early. It's also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account. What are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. Get started with Chime today. Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. Shout out to Credit Karma for sponsoring this episode. Want a new credit card but not sure how to choose? You don't need to apply for the first offer that you see in the mail. Credit Karma can help you zero in on the right option for you and apply with more confidence. I love Credit Karma. I've been using it for years to check my credit profile, make sure everything is good and on the up and up. Credit Karma uses your credit profile to show you offers that are tailored to your financial situation. Credit Karma partners with a wide range of card issuers, so you can be sure that you're exploring all sorts of options. Best of all, Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you your chances of approval before you even apply, helping you apply with more confidence. Comparing cards on Credit Karma is 100% free and most importantly, will not affect your credit score. That is huge. Credit Karma, create your own karma. Ready to find the right card for you? Head to Credit Karma and check out your personalized mix of offers today. That's creditkarma.com or hit up the Credit Karma app to find the right card for you. That's creditkarma.com.
Imran, speaking of PlayStation, I had a quick PlayStation story for you with story number two. PlayStation 5 sales have reached 20 million worldwide. This is Christopher Dring at GamesIndustry.biz. PlayStation 5 has sold 20 million units worldwide, GamesIndustry.biz can reveal. The console has been in huge demand since it launched in November 2020, and if it was not for a global shortage of components, it would have hit that milestone far earlier. The company says it is planning a significant ramp-up in console production during the remainder of the year. Imran Khan, 20 million worldwide, is that impressive?
That's impressive. Like, it's tracking behind the PS4, but it's still, like it said, this it's probably because of the shortage, and I think they can fix a shortage problem. I'm curious if they can fix a scalping problem or if solving the shortage problem solves that too. We'll see. Like, it's not a matter of there's not enough PS5s to go around. It feels like the PS5s that do come out mostly go through subscriber systems on Walmart or Best Buy or go straight to scalpers.
Do you think there's urgency for them to fix the scalper situation?
I don't know if their software sales are suffering because of it. I don't think they are. But if they ever start doing, like, if the new Spider-Man doesn't track above the old Spider-Man, or track at least the same, then it's a problem.
And, like, obviously, like, it scales because there are so many PS4 units out by the time we got Spider-Man 2018 and by Spider-Man 2. There'll probably be less PS4s out because we're earlier in the cycle. But, yeah, no, like, if you look at those comparable numbers, I think that'll start to be the signal of, shit, no, we got to make sure this gets into actual people's hands instead of just sitting in a scalper's backyard somewhere because it's starting to become a problem. But, yeah, it's good to see that the PS5 is doing well. It seems like all things considered, if scalping and the component shortages weren't a problem, it seems like PS5 would be pacing along with or maybe even outpacing the PS4, which is really impressive.
Yeah. the PS4 was their fastest selling system since the PS2. So if it's catching up to that, then that's great news for them. I think they're both still trending behind the Switch, but that's, you know, Switch is just a force of nature at this point. So it's hard to compare.
Imran, let's talk about story number three. Sonic Frontiers got a brand new gameplay trailer showing off combat. This is Ryan McCaffrey at IGN. IGN has more Sonic Frontiers gameplay for you today, this time focusing on combat. In the above video, you'll see Sonic battle big bad guys and absolutely gargantuan bosses. And this, if you're an audio listener, Barrett's going to be pulling up the footage for the video watchers. And clearly, Frontiers doesn't simply have enough one-hit kill enemies that serve as mere speed bumps as you zip through the stage. You'll need to use Sonic's speed and skills in order to outsmart and outmaneuver his foes out in the open zone. We'll have much more on Sonic Frontiers as our month-long IGN First coverage rolls on, including the world's first hands-on preview, interviews with the game director and Sonic team boss, and more. Imran Khan, I've watched this footage. I believe you've watched this footage.
I felt bad for you watching this footage. Like, I was watching this and it was like, oh, poor Blessing.
It's such a bummer because, IGN is doing the IGN First. They are rolling out videos, right? And I've been very much on a wait and see approach because the first video that we got a few days ago was focused on exploration and focused on like some of the puzzles and like open world stuff that you're going to be doing. And I think conceptually and in terms of just what the idea of the game is and where and their direction of it, I think it is such a good direction. I think this is what a next step of a Sonic game should be. I think having it be this open environment, you are solving platforming challenges as you go, you are discovering puzzles, you are doing collectathon stuff, kind of like a Mario Odyssey or a Banjo or something along those lines. I think that is such an excellent place to take it. Though my biggest fear has been the actual execution of it and how the gameplay feels and how combat looks and all that stuff. And today was the combat video. It was the combat overview. And the combat just looks bad. It looks terrible. Like, and it's the thing of, it reminds me of, there was recently the Gotham Knights gameplay trailer that they did, and I think the common sentiment that I was hearing from people was that it seemed like the person just didn't know how to demo the game. It seems like the gameplay was looking bad, probably because the gameplay just wasn't looking great in general, but then also the person who had their hands on controller wasn't showing it that well. For me here, it looks almost like both.
Really quick, though, too, because I know there's like a lot of assumption gameplay stuff. Like, this isn't like the Cuphead video from years ago.
This is Sega.
This is Sega footage.
No, this isn't media playing. This is footage from the publisher.
No, I know. Yes. I just want to be clear for people like watching, because I know they don't always understand like where footage comes from. Like, I don't believe this is because this is an IGN First, this isn't a journalist playing this for the first time. Yeah. This is developer who like works on this game playing this game.
They've outright said, IGN said it was not them playing. Yeah. So.
That's why I bring this in, is I think it's the combined thing of, you can see certain slip-ups in certain places where Sonic slips or misses a platform or stuff like that, which you know, maybe that's natural gameplay. Maybe they want to be like, yo, this is what the true experience looks like. But also, it seems a bit like they're fighting with the controls. And I think that is where things get scary, is like, there are certain things where things just don't seem as accurate as you need them to be. Things don't flow as well as you need them to when you're going through certain platforms or going through certain boost pads and like wanting to hit and have that flow as well as nice feeling as you'd like it to. Like, even things as simple as the rings popping out of Sonic don't look as good as you'd want them to, right? Which is, it's such a bummer.
They just kind of like fall out of him. Like, he's like his pocket cut open or something. Mm-hmm. It's so, like, it looks so stiff, like, you can tell that the person playing is having trouble controlling it. By far, I think the most egregious thing to me is the footage showed earlier. After Sonic does, like, a little combo, the camera changes in such a weird way that looks like it has, like, completely disconnected from whatever you were saying.
You're talking about, like, when it zooms back and he does, like, the quick zoom thing?
And then, like, it just looked at the sky for a second and, like, flashes back to Sonic. It's so weird. It's like, it reminds me of Sonic 2006.
Yeah. Yeah, it is weird, right? Like, I think the immediate thing that screamed to me is like, yo, delay this game. Like, just hold the game, put it back in your pocket, and just polish it, right? Because I do think that, and I stand by, I do think that there are so many kernels of something that could be really good. I think the direction is really good. The stuff that they're showing is stuff that I want from a Sonic game in terms of the exploration, again, in terms of like the puzzle solving, in terms of all these things. It just feels like it is way too early on in its development for something that is supposed to come out this fall. And even like reading there was the in the IGN article, right? Like they mention you'll need to use Sonic speed and skills to outsmart and outmaneuver enemies, yada yada yada. Frontiers doesn't simply have the one hit kill enemies that serve as mere speed bumps. And my question is why? I don't think that was a problem in the Sonic games. Like yeah. that was the enemies served as platforms for Sonic to get to the next thing, right? Like right. some of it feels like it's misunderstanding what people want out of the Sonic things. Like I don't need Sonic to punch and kick in the way that in this trailer he's punching and kicking, and it just looks plain bad. It looks like it doesn't even look like it's colliding with the enemies in like ways that look or feel satisfying.
It's and this is. This is a thing people are going to yell at me about, of like comparing everything to Breath of the Wild. But like sometimes it's really clearly influenced by Breath of the Wild. And this is one of those times where they clearly played the game. They went, okay, we understand what like this is a major evolution for Zelda. This is like very influential on like game design and stuff like that. But they took really weird lessons from it. They took the lessons of like, so I don't know if we didn't have audio in those clips, but the music is so sedate and weird.
It is all piano music. Same piano music.
And like when you're fighting enemies, which is really strange, it's not just a weird, like when you're crossing the overworld, which is also a little strange, but not as weird. They seem to have gotten the idea that what people liked about Zelda's combat is the idea of dodging and just like hitting Y a bunch. And then they based the entire system around that. And like, no. What you're supposed to get from Breath of the Wild is, let's not do this exact same thing. It's, what's the next evolutionary step in this series?
Yeah.
I don't think it was this. Sonic, like, even Mario Galaxy, which I feel like is a game that also followed that same idea of, Mario Odyssey, followed the idea of what's the next step for us. It still stayed a Mario game. It still stayed like, and that's okay, let's bring in the platformers.
So it was last November, I think, where the reports came out about how the Sonic Frontiers is going to be Sonic's Breath of the Wild. Like, that's how they've been pitching it. That's how they've been going about it. And I always took that as, no, it's not going to be Sonic's Breath of the Wild, because there's no way you can make a Sonic game that is Breath of the Wild. Different genres, different scopes for what those are going to be. Like, a Sonic Breath of the Wild game is not coming out in 2023. Like, that is taking a lot of years of development, a lot of figuring out. The way I always read that was as, oh, this is going to be Sonic's Shadow of the Colossus, in the way that I think Breath of the Wild took a lot of inspiration from something like Shadow of the Colossus in terms of the feel and vibe of the world, right? It being this expansive, like you're looking through and you're seeing like the big like landmarks for, oh, I need to go to this thing. That's where the Colossus is going to be, right? Like the open grass, the open field, kind of like the vibes of it. And also in the ways that I play games like Solar Ash and The Pathless, and I feel like those take very similar inspiration in terms of, hey, you're going through, again, these open environments and you are solving puzzles to figure out how to get to the next thing so that you can fight a final boss and then move on to the next thing. Bear, if you go toward the latter half of the Sonic gameplay preview, Sonic is fighting a large creature that, for me, gave me, again, Shadow Colossus vibes, and even more so Solar Ash vibes, in the way that I want this from the Sonic game. And this is the part of the gameplay trailer that I actually thought looked fun and looked really good. Mm. Like, give me a large villain structure to climb and give me like the weak spots and let me figure out the puzzle to getting toward those weak spots and taking it out. Yeah. That is what I want for combat in this game. I don't need to be fighting smaller stone-like creatures and punching and kicking and having it feel bad. Like this streak thing that's behind Sonic where he has to like run around a thing and connect it to then like activate whatever thing is going on in this boss. Hell yeah. Like fuck yeah, that looks good, right? Let that then open up to the boss going transitioning into whatever their weak state is for me to climb it, get to the top, hit its weak spots, and take it down. That is the gameplay I want. That is the gameplay that I think would be great Sonic gameplay, and that is the stuff that they should focus on. And that is the stuff where if this game had another year, had another 2 years, I think you lean into that stuff, make that stuff dope, and boom, you got a game that is great. But right now, it seems like this is a game where they're like, yo, this needs to come out this fall. Let's start the rollout, and we're just seeing all the pieces of it not come together because they're not taking their time with it.
So there was like a part of that footage where like he was hit the thing to go up the leg and then like it hit the wall and he just fell off the leg. Like, why did you put that in the this is the marketing. You filmed this. You were the one who decided. It's so confusing. And like, yeah, there's shades of Shadow of the Colossus, but I hope it's more Shadow of the Colossus and less Shadow of the Hedgehog. Like, this is not...
How dare you?
It's not a great looking...
You know what? Do you know what Sonic to say a cuss word?
He should say actually one, just one cuss word at the very end of the game.
Hell yeah.
Like, it should do the Breath of the Wild thing where, like, Tails looks behind him and Sonic just says, fuck. And, like, that's it. Then the game cuts to black.
Give it to me. And I do want to address, like, Charles Jacobson in chat, who's been trolling a lot, and I'm not going to get at you for that. Charles does say blessing. Maybe you should go play Shadow Colossus if you want Shadow Colossus. Listen, they're the ones invoking Shadow Colossus. I'm not the one here invoking Shadow Colossus. That is them with the gameplay trailer invoking Shadow Colossus. That's not a thing I'm pulling out my ass. So yeah, like, if they want to make Shadow Colossus,
all games are built in silos, blessing. No one ever looks at other games and
they've never played another game in their lives at Sega, apparently. You know,
y'all should go to GDC where you just talk to developers about all the games they've been playing.
They just walk around. They don't talk to each other, Imran. That's how it happens.
Imran. Let's move on to story number 4. Devolver Digital's Summer Showcase is coming June 9th with host MechaSuda51. This comes from Rebecca Valentine over there at IGN. No. Devolver Digital has just announced its Summer Showcase event, and this year, it's all about the countdown. The Devolver Digital Marketing Countdown to Marketing will be held on June 9th at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and will apparently center around the 30 minutes of the countdown that takes place before a big showcase. It'll be hosted by MechaSuda51. Don't fret if you're hoping for actual game announcements, though, because Devolver is promising at least 4 video game announcements during the event. Last year's show revealed games including Trek to Yomi and Wizard with a Gun, as well as showed more of Inscription, Death's Door, and several other games. I'm so excited about this. Like, Devolver Showcase year to year always has at least a couple of games that really speak to me in terms of excitement, but then also have batshit insane, like, Adult Swim style presentation to them. And, like, they always try to find some meme or find some bit to play off of regarding how, like, whatever the showcase standard is. And my one worry is that, again, this is all about the countdown, right? That was a thing that was prevalent a lot last year. If you remember, like, I think there was an EA play where there was a countdown and then the countdown counted down to a countdown. I think there might have been, like, quite a few different game reveals that had that exact same thing.
Yeah, that's 100% it seems like they're doing.
They're making fun of that. And I hope it's not a year too late. Like,
no, my theory is that, like, it's perfect.
You think it's perfect? You like it? All right.
Yeah, I'm really into that. Raul Giovanni also says it's going to be an NFT heavy show. Like, yeah, 100%. Let Devolver make fun of the dumb shit that's been happening in this industry for the last year. Like, let them go off. Blessing.
They did do NFTs last year.
I hope to God that we get a Katana Zero 2 reveal this year.
Mm. Oh, you're hoping for too much. I wanted to, Garrett.
It's been so long, though. I need it.
We're going to get Cult of the Lamb. Which and actually, cool. I forget what other Devolver Digital stuff is upcoming. I feel like they've released a lot. They just put out Card Shark, which is another one I was looking forward to. And so, like, outside of Cult of the Lamb, and you let me know in chat, or I might just Google as I'm talking, but I don't know what else I want from Devolver Digital right now.
Yeah. The showcase, I feel like the Gunbrella joke stretches a little...
That's another one. That's another good one.
The showcase, I feel like, stretches a little thin, the joke does for me, but, like, they're crushing it on the games front. Like, as long as they announce games, I'm totally fine. They put out some real good shit.
Hell yeah. Yeah, no, and that's my thing is I'm excited to watch these because I think they're entertaining. And I do think it has been tough to keep up with, all right, how do we continue to stay fresh and stay funny? Because I think when they first started doing this, it came out of nowhere, and it's like, oh shit. Like, y'all are doing something different, and it's really cool. Now that we're at, what, year 5 of doing this? It's been quite a while of them doing this. I think there's less opportunity for it to feel like a surprise, but they keep trying, and I do think the countdown thing sounds funny. And again, I just hope it doesn't feel like it's a year-old bit, because last year was the countdown year, and this year might have some other weird quirk that developers are going to be doing that we're going to make fun of.
The thing is, I feel like the ultimate culmination of this joke was sneaking Nina... PlayStation 5 deal. Like, that was the height of it.
Sorry,
that should have been.
Imran, say that again. I don't know what's going on with Discord, but y'all are getting choppy and robot-y and stuff.
They snuck Nina Struthers, the fake CEO or marketing person for Devolver, into the PS5 reveal. And that was the main thing. Like, that is the thanks, you guys have been great of that joke. And they should have just backed away at that point. Mm. I don't know where they go from there. Maybe it will be great, but it kind of feels like a TV show that's gone on a season too long.
Well, we'll see in about a week. I'm very excited about it. Imran, we got a couple of stories left. Story number 5, Sega has announced a Mega Drive Mini 2, including Mega CD games. This is Chris Golian at Video Games Chronicle. Sega has announced its next mini console, which will be based on Mega Drive 2. The Mega Drive Mini 2 will include 50 Mega Drive and Mega CD titles, including arcade ports and what Sega describes as a mysterious new work. The console was announced during a Japanese Sega live stream, which at the time of writing is still ongoing. The list of games confirmed for the console so far is as follows. You got Slipheed for Mega CD, Shining Force CD for Mega CD, these are all Mega CD, Sonic CD, Pop Full Mail, Virtual Racing, Bonanza Bros, Shining in the Darkness, Thunder Force 4, and then Magical Tarurudo for the Mega Drive. And also we got Fantasy Zone for the new Mega Drive port. The Mega Drive Mini 2 will be released on October 27th in Japan and will cost 9,980 yen or $75. Sega has yet to confirm a Western release. Imran, is this a thing that interests you remotely?
Intellectually, yes. It's cool to see what they're mining out of this, but I haven't bought a mini console since the PS1, and I don't think I ever even played that. So, not really. It's not a thing I'm going to buy to play games on, most likely.
Yeah. This is pretty much in here as a PSA for the people that might be out there, might be some Sega Mega Drive people. You know, if you've been dying to play Magical Tarurudo on the Mega Drive again, boom, there you go.
Favorite hidden ninja.
That's...
But it's a Naruto joke. It wasn't that hard. Like, we weren't gonna go too deep with it.
All right, cool. I was like, that was one where I was like, I was trying to do like the different. All right, is he talking about mystical ninja Goemon? Like, I was trying to like find the different reference points, and I couldn't find it. Turns out I need to watch Naruto. Let's round out with story number 6. Samoa Joe will play Sweet Tooth in the Twisted Metal TV show. This is Rosie Cordero at Deadline. AEW's Joe Sinoa, aka Samoa Joe, is set to play the dual role of Sweet Tooth, voiced by Will Arnett at Peacock's Twisted Metal. Sweet Tooth is described as a hilarious and terrifying hulk of a man who is as emotional as he is cunning. A lover of chaos, this majestic, rage-filled killer dons an ever-smiling clown mask and uses Las Vegas as his own personal kill ground, all while he drives his infamous Tuesday ice cream truck. Imran, what is your hype levels for Twisted Metal, the show, and why is it 10 out of 10 hype levels?
It's like zero. Like, I've never seen, like, the TV show needs to hit the same level of dumb that the FMV cutscenes for the first game hit. So Sweet Tooth needs to drive into the mob boss's garage, give him something, and then shoot everybody from the car window. Like that, and then like leave. That needs to be like the first scene in the show.
Unironically.
All right, guys, hold on. This is getting really bad. I don't know what's going on. My internet's fine. I don't know. Discord is just having a day.
You want to restart Discord?
I'm going to restart Discord really quick. Chat, you know, you're just going to hang out with me for a second here because it's getting unbearable at this point, right? You see at my desktop, I got Persona 4 Gold and still haven't properly beaten it yet. We're going to go here. We're going to go... click this off. I know they're talking about Sweet Tooth. I'm excited for Will Arnett to do the voice as well. That's going to be really exciting. And just to, like, have Samoa Joe kind of, like, walk around as well. Sorry, I'm going to, like, do a hard reset on Discord and kind of, like, close it out in the background here. Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. I'm excited for Samoa Joe to just, like, have fun on the set. Again, like Blessing and I have been saying, you know, there's no way this show can fail. There's absolutely no way. You've got Falcon from Marvel and all that stuff. What was his name? Who's Sandman? Spider-Man 3. He's gonna be in it. That's probably gonna be great. You know, chat. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's gonna be a fun time. There's no way this show can fail, right? Blessing out, AAA Junior.
Exactly right. And Barry, I just want to say I'm so proud of you, because once you left, I started listening to the show on Twitch, and I assumed that you would just be silent, just doing your thing.
No, no. Because I know we're still recording, I don't want like the podcast to be like this awkward thing, so that's why I kept going.
See, that's why we pay you the medium bucks here, Barrett. Barrett, I can't, and Imran, I can't wait to see when the Twisted Metal show comes out and if it's a masterpiece, but that day is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom Grab Shops today, where'd I look?
All right, let me try this from memory. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it, Imran. I'm very proud of you. Out today, we got Frogger and the Rumbling Ruins for Apple TV, Macintosh, iPad, and iPhone. Super Perils of Baking for Xbox Series X, Xbox One, PS5, PS4, Switch, and PC. Empire Dukes of the Far Frontier for PC, Ninja Break for PS4, and then Wonder Boy Collection for Switch and PS4. We got some new dates for you. Steve Jackson's Sorcery comes to Nintendo Switch, Xbox, and PlayStation on June 23rd, and then Stray will launch on July 19th for PS5, PS4, and PC via Steam. Now it's time for kindafunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. And this can't be right. I see nothing in here. Let me refresh. When I'm refreshing, I see nothing. Hold on. Let me go to this. Imran, I think me and you just cleaned it up. I think we killed it.
We're never wrong.
I don't think
the number one games journalist.
Or there's something wrong with the Excel file. One of the two things. But I mean, Imran Khan is the number one games journalist, and so usually how it goes. Imran, today's Friday, right? We have a whole schedule for next week's host for Kinda Funny Games Daily. But guess what? I forgot to put them in the doc, and so I'm
I'll read them right here, Bless. So God bless at least for what we have scheduled right now, because you know next week is kicking off like kind of the first full week of Summer Games Fest. So things might be changing around, stuff like that. Monday, right now, we have Blessing and Andy Cortez. Tuesday, we've got Greg and Gary Witta. Wednesday, we have Blessing and Janet. Thursday, we've got Greg and Tim, possibly both in the same room for that one. That'll be fun one. And Friday, we have Mike and Andy, which will be a special one. So that's what we've got scheduled out right now. Again, because it's Summer Game Fest and we got a lot of schedule stuff moving around, that might change. But either way, it's going to be a fun week.
Fuck yeah. Imran, before you round out, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Imran, Z-U-M-G. Also, you should go to fanbyte.com and just idle and click on random links. Like, just
not
whatever.
The random ones, no.
Morbius only is like it says.
Right now, if you're driving to work, right, I need to pull over to the curb, all right? Open up your phone, type in fanbyte.com/Morbius. That's going to take you to a page that is inactive. I need you to delete the Morbius, click fanbyte, and then scroll down to the Morbius page and then click it, all right?
Yeah, everybody, you can't spell Morbius without fanbyte.
100%. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is Evil Dead featuring Ron Funches. So get hyped for that. You know him as King Sharp, Shark from the Harley Quinn show. I know him as the dude from the Vanessa Hudgens show that took place in the DC world, but wasn't really a DC superhero show. You got the nerds out there know what show I'm talking about. It's that Ron Funches. Yeah. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com.
Powerless.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Remember, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.